Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
All right, and we are back with the latest episode of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. My name is Tony Stensland. I'm joined here with Mike Ward, as usual, for episode number 53 of our podcast. It's the 18th of September. Today we're recording Sunday afternoon, and I hope everyone out there is doing well. Mike, how about yourself? How have you been?
Doing really well.
Excellent.
Yeah, excited to get going on a number 53 here.
Yeah, number 53. Feels like it's been a little while. I think we had a little extended break in between our last one and this one. So we've got a lot of race results to get to. And let's just get right into it.
Let's jump right in. All right. Yeah, it's definitely, I think, the heat of the racing season here in Duluth. Always tends to be a lot of early September race options, which is super cool to see. And it looks like participation is kind of coming back, or definitely pretty good. So let's start with the NMTC Fall Trail Race Series, which is a favorite of all local Duluth runners, I would say. Three races have occurred in the Fall Series. That would be Lester Park, Zapp's Loop, and Hartley. We'll get to this in a second, but there are quite a few options still left. Go to NMTC, as in Northern Minnesota Track Club, nmtc.run for a full list of the results and the upcoming races. But just to kind of give an idea of where we're at, instead of going through the nitty-gritty results, we can go through kind of just maybe the top three standings. So for men's, we have Ethan Anderson in first place with 442 points. Josh Gunderson has 437 points, and then Adam Swank has 433 points. And all three of those guys have finished in the 140s every, so that would be top 10 for every race, and they've all three completed all three races. So I think it looks like all the way down the list, a lot of people doing all three races so far, and looks pretty tight up front. For the ladies, kind of same deal, all the way down the list, a lot of top finishers who have done all three races. Madeline Harms has 446 points so far, Molly Watkins 441, and Shelby Sewer 436. So definitely pretty tight up front. Looks like some tight races up there as well for the gals. And then for non-binary, Samantha Fry with 150 points. They did just the Zapp's Loop one race so far for Samantha. But plenty of races to go, which we'll get to in a sec. On to our next race on Saturday, August 27th, was the Lost Forester run of Pine Valley. That's out in Cloquet. This is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe the sixth rendition of this race already. Nathan Bronk from Duluth won it with a time of 24:29. Joe Fournier, second place, 29:28. And then Amber Cantonin from Cloquet, first female, third place overall, 29:47. So we had 26 finishers in that race. And it looks like Nathan set a course record. Amber, second fastest time of all time, which I think this is kind of a, maybe not quite a consistent course, if I'm right. So that
probably
might
the case. I think maybe Tim made it too easy.
Yeah, maybe take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, another rendition of the Lost Forester run of Pine Valley for 2020. Next, moving on, we have a lot of results from the Superior Fall Trail races, so I'll just kind of go with the top finishers. On the 100 miler, Jake Heggie, 20 hours 45 minutes to win the race overall and take the men's championship. Gretchen Metza, beast runner out of the Iron Range area, who wins lots of long course trail races in the area, 24:06, which is just a stellar time for fourth overall, first place in the women's division. Moving on to the 50 miler, Matthew Eidenschink, who was briefly a Duluth resident, he won the race, the 50 miler outright, with a 8:46, and then the first female to come in. That would be Margaret Ho, 13th overall, with a 10:35. And then finally, we have the marathon course, which was first place Northfield, Minnesota resident Spencer Castillo, 3:56. And then the first place female for that race, that would be Abby Ewald from Minneapolis. She was 14th overall with a 4-hour, 50-minute time on the marathon. So, looked like kind of a rainy day for that race, but pretty decent finishing time. So,
yeah, good finishing times considering what the trail pictures I saw looked pretty muddy, at least in spots for sure. We should also mention Amber Hardwig, a former guest of the podcast, finished 3rd overall in the 100-miler.
Yeah.
With 28:21 was her official time, so not too far off of Gretchen at all. So nice run, Amber. Congrats.
Yeah, actually, that I was pretty excited to see her on the finish on the finishing list, because when we interviewed her earlier this summer, she was talking about that race quite a bit. So
yeah.
If you want to kind of relive that, you can go on our website, theduluthrundown.com, or just search back just a couple.
Yeah, it's just a couple
maybe
episodes.
What,
yeah.
Episode 50 or something, we interviewed Amber. And she talked about that race quite a bit. So
Yeah,
I think that's really fun to hear the story and kind of the anxieties and the, you know, leading up, and then to see that she did third place in the women's division. Awesome.
Yeah, so. Extremely successful. Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, we have the Minnesota Mile, from a 100-mile race to a 1-mile race, which those are start on the same day, really. Or, I don't know, same weekend anyways. We have a lot of different results in terms of age groups, but let's just maybe go with the Masters Awards. First place Master Men, David Heipinen, with a 5:06, and the first place Master Woman, Renee Calillo, with a 6:58. And then we can report on the competitive awards as well. So first place overall in the race, first place in the men's competitive was Cameron Stocky, 17-year-old from the Iron Range, with a 4:29. And then Hannah Torvey, 24-year-old, wins the women's competitive with a 4:57. So looks like Hannah was way out in front, 10 seconds in front of second place Sonny Jenkins. But lots of runners for the Minnesota Mile, so that looks fun. We also have some results from what appears to be a new race, the Aruna 5K. I believe this was on the UMD campus, and we had 245 finishers on this race, so pretty cool. We'll report on the top finisher here. Dylan Huss, 19-year-old, wins with a 16:54. And then first place in the women's division, Erica Swanson, fourth place overall with an 18:47. 21-year-old listing Greenfield, Minnesota. So cool to say, kind of a new race with, 250 finishers. That's pretty great. So next we have the Bangin' in the Brush. This was on September 17th, just this past weekend, yesterday actually, which is a 10K trail run at the Corky Nordic Center, outside of town, halfway between here and Two Harbors. Matt Powell won the race with a 47:04. Ooh, right behind him, Sam O'Donnell Hoff, 47:05, 1 second behind. So that was a tight race. In the women's division, this it looks like Tiffany Carey Tiffany Carey Sismas, actually. Congrats on getting married, Tiffany. She won the women's division with a 58.07. And that was actually a tight race as well. Just about a minute back was Brooke Stanley. So that's a really fun race. If you haven't done Banging in the Brush, I would recommend it as a local bucket list race. It's a really fun trail run.
I still haven't done that race. I need to do that.
It's pretty rugged.
Yeah.
And you just get a really kind of mom and pop feel. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
That's awesome.
But it makes it tough for a lot of runners to do the Banging in the Brush because it shares this race day with the North Shore Inline Marathon. A lot of different races here. This is a big event here in Duluth. For us, two running races are included amongst the roller ski and inline skating races. The St. Luke's Wheels Off Half Marathon Run shares a course very similar to Grandma's. Mm-hmm. So that's a great option for people who like that course, which how can you not like the course?
Right.
That race was won by local runner Brad Leek with a 121.08 first place in the women's division. Bethany Motley from Minnetonka, 133.05. 100 finishers on the dot for the half marathon. The other race of the weekend is the Tunnel 10K Run. Derek Moe won that one with a 35.54. Derek is a 23-year-old out of Superior, Wisconsin, across the bridge. Second place, David Heipinen. He's all over these recent race results. And then first place in the women's division is Lexi Landis. She's a 16-year-old from George, Iowa, with a 45.09. Nice work, Lexi, taking the win. 169 finishes in the Tunnel 10K Run. And that wraps up, I guess, a long list of recent race results. And we plan on doing another podcast in just 2 weeks at the beginning of October. So that said, there's only a couple upcoming races between now and then. We have NMTC Browns Point. That's on this Wednesday, the 21st of September. We have NMTC Rock Hill. That's a week later, the 28th of September. And then I think that's about it, I guess, besides Twin Cities Marathon, which is in 2 weeks from today. That would be October 2nd.
Yep.
I think there are other races in the weekend. There's a 5K, 10K, I believe, on Saturday.
I think so. And then the 10-miler, of
and
course.
And the 10-miler on Sunday as well.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
There's typically a handful of Duluth runners that go down for some
of the
races.
There'll be a lot of locals down there for that.
Yeah.
Including
me.
Including Mike.
Yeah. This is kind of a bucket list race for me. I've always wanted to do the Twin Cities Marathon. And I will say, though, Tony, I'm severely undertrained. Severely. I think I'm a solid, going for a solid personal worst on this one. And that's including my marathon split doing Ironman Wisconsin. I don't think I can match that time. So, yeah.
The aerobic fitness just isn't quite there, huh?
I think it's mainly muscular, you know, just when you don't run consistently, which my last month has been pretty dismal in terms of running volume. That's kind of where I'm at. And, I think the aerobics is almost going to be there just fine. But yes, that's still a lot of pounding on the legs,
the physicality of it,
And, you know, you can stay in like a solid zone two, you know, heart rate, you know, decent heart rate and put up a good time, I think. And you don't need to train hard to like kind of maintain that, you know, I feel. But the pounding on the legs, I think, is going to be my issue, just like the pain. But it's going to be fun, and I'm excited, really excited to see the course, see the whole course. And I think there's a kind of a nice component to not being really well trained and knowing that and going into a race is that you have no expectations.
Right.
It's all about fun.
There's no pressure.
There's
the difference between running a marathon and racing a marathon.
Right. And when you train so hard and you're in really good shape, then you put these pressures on yourself. Like, I ought to be able to perform at this level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where now I'm like, I ought to be able to do a PW. I shouldn't be able to do anything better than that.
Right.
So that's what we have kind of coming up. Not too many, but of course there are plenty more races in October that we hopefully will report on early October with another episode 54. That said, let's get on to kind of some of these rundown segments. First things first, trail conditions. I don't think either of us have really been on the trails very much.
No, I haven't even been checking that.
Yeah.
They might be okay. The single track might actually be okay. Just I know it's been a little rainy these last couple of days, but it's been so dry before. Yeah. So, yeah. Are you checking right now, Mike?
I'm checking right now. Yeah. What's nice is that a quick Google search, Duluth trail conditions, yields all different types of results. Yeah. There are so many different sources to find this information. One would be the City of Duluth website, Parks and Recreation. COGS keeps really good tabulations on what ones are, you know, maybe open and closed. Looks like a couple mountain bike trails are recommended closed. For instance, Hartley, UMD Chester, Lester, really everything just because of recent heavy rains this past week.
Yep.
I think the Superior Hiking Trail should be pretty good shape, though, really, when it comes down to it. I know up north they got even more rain than us down here, so if you're heading up the shore, I would maybe expect some kind of muddier conditions. On the flip side, there's still plenty of vegetation. I think it'll dry out fairly quickly.
Yeah, that's what I think too. A lot of these closures that I'm seeing on Twitter are from the 16th, so Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And today, of course, being the 18th, things might be a little different depending on what park and how bad things were. So,
right. Typically, one day is all it takes for trails to dry out, even after a pretty heavy rain.
Yep.
I don't think we're quite close to the kind of the fall shutdown season.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Still probably okay to get out there, but yeah, especially after a rain, you know, just keep your ear to the ground.
One of the nice things that happens after the rain is the trails get kind of tacky. Once they get dry enough to be on, then they get tacky, and actually you can kind of run them a little better than when they're really dry.
Right, like sandy, so, dusty.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next, let's get to the Coach's Corner. What do you have for our listeners for some advice here, Tony?
So one thing I was thinking about the other day, that's at this time of the year, what happens a lot is, you know, I love training for a fall race, particularly a marathon. And I always say you can typically be in better shape for the fall marathons than you can, say, spring, early summer. However, there's a caveat to that, and I see it happen quite a bit, is the challenge of the fall marathon training is that you're training through the summertime and you've got a couple of things that kind of get in the way. One being, of course, the heat. July and August especially can be difficult. You just have to kind of get through that. But a big challenge too is there's a lot other races to kind of, I will say, interrupt your training at times. And then there's things like vacation where you're gone for, you know, a week or a three or 4 day weekend or something like that, that can also interrupt your training. So you really, if you are trying to put a big importance on, say, a Twin Cities Marathon or Whistle Stop Marathon, and you've been going since July, you've got, what, maybe 12, 14, 16 weeks of training-ish, it's kind of like that. Figure in a 2 week taper, so now you're down to maybe like 14 weeks of training, and then you figure, I don't know, 3 weekends isn't out of the question over the course of the summer, where getting your long run in is to be a challenge because of vacations and other races and things like that. So now you're looking at kind of like 10-ish weeks to try to get enough long runs in for your fall marathon at times. You really have to be careful with that by doing, like I say, too many races or not getting enough running in when you're on vacation and that kind of a thing. And when I say other races, I'm talking like not only running races, half marathons, things like that, but you've got mountain bike races and gravel bike races and those things. And all those events are great and a lot of fun to do. And I don't necessarily mean to not ever do them, but I do mean that you have to really decide where the value is going to lie with your training for fall marathon, or are you looking to really just have a fun summer and get fit and be healthy? Both answers are right. Both answers are good answers. You just have to decide. And I think that can be a real challenge sometimes for people. I don't know what you think about that and what your experience has been with that too.
Yeah, I think, you know, every runner, especially, you know, ones who are training hard, you know, the two factors, limiting factors, are time and energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think running energy is even more limited. Luckily, doing other types of races, biking and stuff, like, I feel like that allows you to keep energy for running. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do a couple-hour mountain bike race and then still do a couple-hour run and probably be okay body-wise versus, you know, doing a two-hour run and then another two-hour run back-to-back, maybe not the case.
Right.
But I think the time is the other really key factor. You might feel good. You might feel, I guess, energized to go, say, for a long run. But, oh, my gosh, if you're traveling for a race or even just have, I mean, back-to-school time is, I know it's just so busy for families, for instance, and those two, I think, limiting factors are tough to navigate for anyone. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. You really have to decide kind of where you want to put all your, if you want to put all your eggs in one basket and get the most out of yourself, or if you want to do multiple things and understand then that you probably will not get the most out of yourself in,
right,
in the one regard.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of just, those are your choices.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah. So what if you haven't run at all and then you have a marathon in 2 weeks?
Then pray.
Okay.
You know, visualization. Just visualize, you know, a 2:37.
Oh.
Just visualize, and then it'll happen.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Maybe just erase the first number and...
Yeah, put a 3 in front of it instead of a 2.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, though.
Yeah, so. No, and I joke, I'm actually a huge believer in visualization, but obviously you don't just... I'm not going to pretend and visualize that I'm going to be an Olympic trials qualifier or anything. Yeah. There's some realism that has to be involved. But, yeah, in your situation, we were talking off air, like, it can be a lot of kind of fun in a way. And I did that once with grandma's where I knew I wasn't trained for a marathon, but I went and did the marathon just as a run, just to go do it and be a part of the event. And it was a lot of fun, actually. I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
So, and I think that'll be the same thing for you for TC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other part too, is that, you know, it's a long life.
Yep.
There's always another season, I think, for almost any runner out there, really.
Exactly.
And you can do one, and I don't think it's totally sustainable to just be so focused on one race every single year, or even two races. I mean, that's tough, you know.
Some people do it, but I think it's rare. I think I'm always interested in that, though, that do I want to be the best possible, say, runner that I can be?
Yeah.
And if that's what you want, then as far as I'm concerned, you need to run.
Yeah.
You need to be dedicated to running.
Yeah.
If you want to experience different things in life,
yeah,
then you do go and you do lots of different things, and you have to kind of accept that you might not reach your potential.
Right.
Yeah.
In running specifically.
Yep. Yeah.
But you could do one year and one the other year.
You could, but you still won't reach your potential. You might reach your potential for that year, but I think anybody who's listening knows running takes a long, long time, and each year builds on itself.
Right.
And you might be able to focus and train hard for 12 months, say, start on January 1st, and you race somewhere in California in December, and you might have a great race because you trained really well. And then you take the whole year off. Well, then the next year coming back, you're not quite starting over, but you've lost an entire year.
Right.
So, so again, it all builds on itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a positive way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
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 The thing here, like in Duluth, is we have so many cool options for different things.
Right.
That it can get really tricky. I was talking, we maybe mentioned this before, but I was in California a couple of years ago in San Francisco in one of the running stores at Mill Valley, I think it was called. And, he was talking about what they have. He calls it the California curse because it's like great weather all the time. They don't really get a down season there.
Yeah.
It's like always awesome situations to go run with roads and the trails and everything that they have there in that valley. And I could totally see, I was there in January and I ran in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt.
You know,
and it was
mild.
It was mild. It was like kind of is today.
Yeah.
You know? It's beautiful. So, It can sort of be a negative too.
I think, you know, at least for me, if I have just realistic expectations and almost a goal, like my goal is I'm going to maximize my fun, knowing that I'm not going to maximize my, say, fitness.
Right.
If I say I'm willing to sacrifice and I know it's going to take a sacrifice to maybe some other activities or time commitments, but I really want to nail this goal for this particular race. Mm-hmm. I think that helps me is if I go into it, you know, in months and months in advance, kind of with the game plan.
Yeah.
Versus just kind of willy-nilly.
Yep.
And then it's like, maybe I can do this, but I still want to do this mountain bike race or be paddling or something. Mm-hmm. Well, then it just kind of sets yourself up maybe for a disappointment a little bit.
Like, yeah.
Oh,
yep.
I could have done this, you know, so I think planning forward versus looking back and maybe having regrets or something.
I think that's incredibly important point, and I totally agree. And it really kind of is getting to what I was starting at with originally with this idea that it's like you almost have to make the decision that this will be my commitment
right
starting now, and everything else I will sacrifice for. And then I think you're going to be a little more fulfilled at the end, and you're going to come closer to reaching your potential.
Yeah.
But if you kind of go in half-assed a little bit about, I'm going to train for this marathon, but I'm also going to do all these other things in there, you can't be disappointed if your results don't end up great because you simply did not utilize your time well enough to get the most out of yourself in that situation.
Right.
Yeah. And again, I don't really think either one of them are a wrong answer. I think both of them can be successful.
Yeah.
But you have to decide what you want. And each person's a little different, too. And some people thrive more on that multi-sport or approach a little better. And some people thrive better on, I'm singularly focused on this one thing and I'm laser locked into it.
Right.
Either one. You have to kind of know your personality type.
Yeah.
And know what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Something to think about for fall races here coming up, and let's see. I know you also have thoughts on the run. What have you been thinking about out there on the roads?
Yeah, I have another thought that I think, I don't know, might be, you know, it's a debatable thing. It's another one kind of without an answer. But I'm always interested in these kind of hypotheticals anyway.
Yeah.
When we talk about trail running and we talk about recovery, we always like, oh, I recover so much better on trails because of the soft surface.
Yeah.
Right? Which I'm not saying is wrong.
Uh-huh.
That's probably true. However, I will say that there's an additional thing on trail running that helps us recover quicker that we never talk about. I don't think gets acknowledged enough.
Yeah.
Because what I'm going to say is it's an important aspect of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's that when you're trail running, you simply run slower.
Right.
You know,
run
8 minute pace on a trail versus 8 minute pace on a road, and 8 minute pace on a certain single track trail is moving pretty good.
Yeah.
Right. But sprinting on the road, you know, for a lot of folks, that's kind of a jog or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's all relative, but, so I think that a lot of times when we're rejuvenated and recovered, and because we did a 6 mile jog in Hartley, we forget that we probably ran it a lot slower.
Right.
And you could actually then transfer that slower pace out onto a 6 miler on the road and get the same kind of recovery.
Right.
But we forget that a lot of times. And what I'm trying to say is the importance of running slow.
Sure. Yeah.
Is super important for your recovery.
Yeah.
Trails are a great way to get that because they kind of force you to slow down a little bit because of the hills and the turns and the terrain.
Mm-hmm.
You just simply cannot move as quickly, and you have to focus in on your footfall every time.
Yeah.
Where on the roads, it's kind of easy to get going a little too quick. Even if it feels easy, it's often a little too fast for what it should be on that given day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think about that, about trails, the one aspect of the trails being more beneficial to recovery is the speed and not the softness of the trail.
Yeah. You know, I think about this kind of running a lot as well in terms of recovery in that aspect. And I, first of all, I guess I really agree that running is one of the best recoveries for running.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had or anyone out there has ever forced themselves to get out after a marathon just for a 1 mile run.
Yeah.
The next day you feel just so much better than
you
would.
Yeah.
Just keep running and running. But at that point you have to run slow. You can't like physically run faster. But I guess my thought is that I think less about speed or pace and more about just effort. And I do kind of like the heart rate option, I guess, for tracking effort. And then also I really like running with other people for tracking effort because of the conversational aspect.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have these different, you know, effort categories based on just how I can keep a conversation. You know, if I'm kind of talking like this, then
right,
it's not a recovery
yeah
pace.
Right.
But if I can just carry on a conversation like I am with you, then obviously it's...
That's exactly what the pace that it should be.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah, in those situations.
So then I think of less of like, what's the pace I'm at? What's the pace I'm running? What surface I'm on? But just like a really like an effort-based, you mm-hmm. know, kind of deal. Because obviously if you do a consistently like moderate effort, mm-hmm. you're not able to recover. But I think from a training standpoint, too, it's not as effective. I think the science kind of points to that, you know, like the lower effort training, like base miles, mm-hmm. are beneficial. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as junk miles. Let's just make sure we understand that. People use that term, but it's a poor term. There's no such thing. You really can't hardly ever run too slow.
Right.
Except on the days when you're not supposed to run slow.
Right.
But for the most part, you need to run pretty slow. But yeah. I think with regards to like roads versus trails, there's often this sort of unspoken, like, trails are always good and it's all magical,
yeah.
and roads are potentially really bad because you're gonna get injured. Like that isn't really true,
right.
And it doesn't have it. It's not that easy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of other factors involved,
right.
and the effort with which you run is one of those factors, which is completely in your control as a runner.
Yeah,
slow down. I think a lot of times, when we run out on the roads and we're out on the lake walk or kind of running through, and we'll have a tendency to try to go a little faster in case someone sees us.
Yeah, right.
Where we get out on the trails and no one's going to see you out in the middle of the guardrail loop because, you know, you see, and, you know, one biker goes by you or one runner goes right by you real quickly.
Yeah.
And so you're not in the spotlight, as it were, a little more out on the trails. And mm-hmm. so it's easier to kind of, again, go a little slower
because
nobody's seeing me anyway.
Yeah.
There's a little ego thing involved in that.
Yeah. Well, and the last thing I guess I have on my mind about this is I'm lucky isn't the right word, but lucky enough to have old slow dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can run on the roads with them and they limit my speed.
What were you just saying your pace was for your...
Yeah,
1330.
They're on 1330s and they're old dogs, old slow dogs, you know, on a hot day, it's 1330, which is too slow.
But the point being...
So whether it's an old slow dog or, you know, maybe one of your friends or family who's, you know, slower, and to explain, hey, this is a recovery day, I'm trying to run slow, I want to go for a slow jog, let's go out. I think that helps as well, you know.
And you're a guy who will be racing in the sixes most of the time.
Yeah.
Right, 6-minute pace, and a little faster at times, depending on how the distance and everything. NMTC races, you know, you're going to be under 6-minute pace.
Yeah.
So
hopefully,
think about that discrepancy, everyone, that Mike would be running his easy runs at versus his race pace at.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, not everybody has that range of speeds because not everybody can touch the sixes and the fives and everything like that. But the point is, if you are someone who's like maybe in the sevens and eights, thinking, oh, if I run 9, that's an easy run. Nope, it's not. It's way too
pushing.
Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find a way to limit. Yeah, makes sense. Let's see. Next segment we have is the route of the week, which we were both kind of struggling to think of. Neither of us have been running a lot, so that's one thing. But kind of worth talking about is, you know, kind of the old standby, so to speak, which my route that I've kind of deviated towards is I have a nice route right on 6th Street, the street that I live on, that goes straight 6th Street west to Cascade Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's like exactly a mile, and it's flat, it's nice, and I get a nice view at the Cascade Park kind of gazebo thing.
Yeah.
I just turn around and run back. It's kind of a nice little jog and little road sidewalk action, you know, through the neighborhood, and that's been kind of my route of the week this last week.
I think a lot of us, or probably most of us, have our typical routes that we do the most often, whether it's a little mm-hmm. 4-miler or 6-miler or whatever. And that's the route that we actually do the most, right from our house, or maybe from, you know, our work or something like that, wherever you're at a decent amount of time. I know way back in the day when I was in Iowa and I was training, I would do 80-mile weeks and I would run 6 days a week. I would do a 12-mile route, the exact same 12-mile route, 5 times, 5 days, so that's 60 miles, and then I would run a 20-miler on the exact same 12-mile route So the same route for the six runs.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would run that route a little bit quicker, kind of tempo-ish. I didn't know what I was doing. I just made this training idea up. On the other days, I'd run it really easy. And then on the 20-miler, I would just do, you know, a relatively normal, easy, long-run pace.
Yeah.
All on the exact same route.
Same route.
Same route every time, every day. Yeah. It worked pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something, like, kind of familiar and just easy about going out on the old standby, so to speak.
Absolutely. You learn the terrain really well. You learn, oh, here's a part where it's downhill and I can surge. I would do that. I had the miles marked. This was before GPS watches, and I'd have the miles marked with a wheel. Yeah. The spray paint is a little paved trail. And 1 mile was kind of a little bit downhill, so I would often try to surge that and do some comparisons, you know how you often do. And I'm like, oh, good, I'm right where I was or faster or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but you get really, really familiar with that, and that's kind of nice and comforting.
Yeah. It's cool, too, to see the same route, like, through the seasons or through the days, or especially for me, you know, on the hillside right in the neighborhood, you see kind of the same, like, people's gardens and stuff. Like, oh, those flowers look nice.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, you get to see that improvement take place or that change over time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, houses pop up for sale or whatever, and you say, oh, look at that. And then, like, for instance, running through guardrail through Hartley, you know, speaking of seasonal changes, like winter versus the depth of summer, man, those are two totally different runs.
Right.
It's so different in there. That's pretty exciting to see.
That's cool. Yeah.
That change.
So I'd be curious what our listeners, what your kind of old standby run is and what you think about running it over and over and over, or if you can't do that, you know, I'm sure there's people out there that are maybe a little different mindset than you and I.
Right.
Like, I think we can run the same route over and over and over and over.
I totally could, because that's how I kind of got into running anyway. It was just, you know, we didn't have a ton of options.
I know some people out there just cannot.
Right.
Under any circumstances
do that. They can't stand it. They have to do something new all the time. I get it, but I sort of feel for you a little bit. But yeah. Whatever works. There's no right or wrong answer to this stuff. So
Exactly. Next, we have a shout-out. I know you got a shout-out here, Tony.
Yeah, I have a quick shout-out to one of my runners, Brian. He PR'd yesterday in the half marathon. He's training for a marathon coming up. PR'd in the half, so that's good to see. So real happy for Brian. Nice job, and if you're out there listening, and hopefully we keep on working and progressing for the next few weeks.
You know, I got a shout out too. This is not really a running related shout out, but I think it's worth to shout out Chris Rubesch. He's a local Duluth runner, and I know at least in the local news media there's been a big nurses strike. He's the vice president of the Minnesota Nurses Association, and so I know he's been just really, I'm sure, crazy busy organizing, negotiating, all this sort of thing. And so I've seen him on the news a couple of times, and just I know he's working really hard to better the system, I guess. And on a non-running related note,
That's a good shout out. Definitely shout out to Chris for that. I wonder how his training's been going lately.
Maybe check in.
I'm sure Chris is always training, so I'm sure it's going well.
I know, but still, I can only imagine the amount of work and dedication that he's
put
in the last few weeks or months.
Talk about like sacrificing and things for other things for your training. I'm sure he is definitely making some training sacrifices for this nurses' strike.
You know, represents a lot of people, a lot of nurses. So let's see. I think our final segment that we have is what I'm into. I know, Tony, you kind of had a little recent volunteer
endeavor. So I've been volunteer coaching at Duluth East on their cross-country team with the boys and the girls teams there. It's been a lot of fun. That's what I've been into lately. Just every day I get home, when I get home from practice, I'm just super excited and can't wait to go to be at practice the next day. It's been a lot of fun.
Cool.
Helping out four more official coaches altogether. And so it's been fun working with them. And, you know, there's 140 kids on the team at East. So there's a lot of kids. And I think it's been kind of helpful to have everybody, all the coaches are often not there all at the same time, just because we all have our own schedules as well. But you can guarantee that there's going to be two to three coaches at all times. And so that's, I think, pretty helpful. And just excited for the rest of the season. They've got, I think, three or four races have been completed. Four races now. They just had one the other day. Four races completed now. And still quite a few more to, they're not even halfway through the season yet, so they got a lot of races. It's been a lot of fun.
That sounds fun, and obviously good to have an impact on the young runners.
It's a lot different. It's kind of a newer thing for me. I've been kind of helping out with some, there's a ski group in the summer that trains, and on Tuesdays they do a run specific thing, and I've been helping with them for the last 3 years. So those are high school kids as well from the area.
Yeah.
But their focus in that is Nordic skiing.
So right.
It really helps them train for the cross country ski season.
Okay.
But I've been helping with that on Tuesdays the last 3 years, and that really got me introduced to this age of runner. As like I say, I've been working with adults primarily for, you know, the last 13 years, but these kids are a lot of fun, to see, because there's a lot of teaching to go on, you know, with pacing and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where we maybe don't have as much of it with the adults, but
the adults are just cracking the whip.
Not necessarily. I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
It's been a good time though.
Yeah.
How about you? What have you been into, Mike?
Well, I've been into paddling, really, and the Boundary Waters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my main thing. Just wrapped up a big trip that I've been training for all year and plotting, scheming about for a long time, and a little bit different than normal running stuff, but that's what I've been into lately.
Nice.
Now I'm strongly not into it anymore after paddling all that way.
Oh, really? A little burnt out, kind of?
I don't want to paddle anymore. I kind of miss it, actually, but I'm done for the
year. Done for a little while anyway, put it away.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty sweet. Of course, I think probably most of our listeners are aware of your accomplishment and your journey here, so love to talk about that. That'll be our interview section coming up. We're going to talk to Mike about his endeavor that he just had, so we'll get ready for that next.